that we have a brother that loves you, who is enamored with who you are, that knows your power, Father, and that knows your word. And we pray that you would use him today to speak your truth and your love to us as we come and observe and celebrate Palm Sunday that's leading us into Holy Week, Father. And so we pray an anointing on Cal that he'd have clarity of thought, clarity of speech, and that whatever he says, Father, would build up the body of Christ for your glory and your honor. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So good morning. Good Palm Sunday morning. So congratulations to everybody that made the effort to get here today, knowing that we're probably going to go back into more slush as you drive away. So who else brought their almost Easter boots today as they came to church? So, yeah, I was going to bring my dress shoes, but then I realized I was already here before I had them. So I'm like, you know what? It's all good. It's all good.
You look great. You look great.
It's all good. Hey, God is good. So it's great stuff. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your power and your glory today. Thank you that you are building your church, us, into your image. Jesus, I pray that you would process through this room and this building today. I pray that you would bring your Palm Sunday procession in the Spirit through this room. Father, I pray that you would be touching hearts. Father, for the folks that need to be up front, leaping and dancing and joyful, I pray that you would invite them to the front row to leap and dance and have joy in your presence, to see your power, to see your humility, to see your love, to see your confidence, to see your strength rising. I pray that you'd invite those to the front, Lord. And I pray for those that need wisdom today, that need to be in the back row, understanding all that's going on, seeing the play of you speaking to every different heart in a different way. I pray that you would bring that revelation as well today. Please process Jesus through this room, through this building, and give us your revelation of your heart and who you are today. We ask for the increase today. We ask for the power today. We ask for the glory today. We ask for you to reveal yourself today. We pray that this would be the next day, the next building block of our foundations and our house, our building of worship and love and adoration to you, that would be building and increasing today on this Palm Sunday. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace today. We just give you adoration and praise. Father, you are awesome. You are awesome in our midst. You are glorious in our midst today. And we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Palm Sunday. So you have to remember, as you think about Palm Sunday, right? Because, okay, what happened back in the scriptures was that this was the Sunday before Easter, right? And this is the time when Jesus came into the city. And set the picture again on this whole thing. The picture is that he's now locked into this confrontation with the religious leaders in terms of, were they going to approve of him? Were they going to allow him to continue teaching? Were they going to allow him to be who he needed to be, right, as the Messiah? He's locked into this confrontation, this kind of political, spiritual confrontation with them, okay? There have been discussions with the Romans. You know, they know who he is because he's the rising meteor that the people are galvanizing around. So there's a lot of folks that are galvanizing around him at this point. And so this is the place. And again, remember, the Romans had subjected Israel to their rule. So the Israelites here, even though God had promised them that he was their ruler and they'd had their own kingdom for a long time, the Romans basically were overseeing the entire thing. The Jews had some autonomy. They had their own king. They had some things, but in different areas of the land. But basically, you know, Pilate was really running, you know, Judea, Jerusalem, and the surrounding areas. Okay. So again, remember, they're caught now in the promises of God, you know, for the Messiah, and they're caught in their current situation that God had permitted, right? The Romans were in charge of them. And so this is kind of the tension that Palm Sunday comes into, when we talk about Palm Sunday, this is kind of like the crucible of what was going on here. So this is powerful. So let's go ahead and read the scripture as we talk about John 12, 12 through 15. So 12, if you want to put it up here. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival, let's stop here. The festival is Passover. Okay, so this is one of the times they all came up to Jerusalem. So if there's going to be something significant happening in the nation before God and among the people, this is going to be one of the times. Everyone is coming up to Jerusalem, right? Everybody's gathering together in the intensity of the festival worshiping God. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." So here comes now this thing. And seated on the donkey's colt means he's not coming as a warrior king who would be on a horse. Seated on the donkey's colt already gives indication that God, Jesus, is coming in the humility of who God wanted him to be. So that's the first tip-off right there. He's coming not on a massive, impressive steed, trained for war, trained to be impressive, trained for the military parades and then for the battlefield. He's not coming as a warrior king, but he's coming as a king of a different sort. A king of a different sort. And so this is already part of the indication of what he's going to start doing. And it's so fun because, you know, when a military king comes in, he's got his soldiers, you know, nowadays his tanks and his artillery marching with him, right? Now, we don't really do this in democracies, okay, as much now because we've learned civilians control the military and that's a much better deal for everybody, right? You know, we're not trying to jam people as much, okay? So that's good. But back in the day when you had a king or a powerful leader, okay, you have your force. You put your power and you display that to people and you basically, you know, show them you're the boss and that's just how it's going to be. And so here he comes with, and if you want to go back, Twilight, to that picture of the people. Here he is with the crowds, the women, the children, the men, not dressed in military gear, not doing those sort of things, but being, you know, peaceful, being enjoying the celebration, enjoying Jesus coming as Messiah, you know, enjoying that whole process. And so here comes Jesus. So he is not looking to be a warlike king on the human frame. He's not looking for that. That's not his thing, right? And yet he comes into this tension because a lot of folks, especially those that are politically minded or power, you know, the power elite of the country, right, want to have their freedom again from Rome. They want to get out from Rome. So it's like the power elite is involved in all the different factions, the different people, you know, fighting each other, agreeing with each other, all the shifting alliances that go on when you think about the power elite and how they operate, right? And the more you get higher up in organizations, the more you see things, right? The more you understand. There's always shifting. There's always different factions. There's different motivations as you get higher in organizations. And so into this, you know, comes the Messiah working in this way. And so the Messiah comes into this ferment. Now, when you think about it, you know, where did the people get their sense or their presence? Where did they get the ideas of who the Messiah would be? Right? Where would that be? Throw out there.
Bible.
Okay, the Bible. Specifically, what part of the Bible? Yeah, the Old Testament anyway, right? The Torah, it could be the Ketuvim or whatever, right? So, interesting here to watch this process. Right? So yes, they got their idea of who the Messiah would be from the Old Testament writings, from the scriptures that had been passed down through the people, from God through the people, right? So that's where that comes from. So Twyla, if you want to take a look, if you want to go to Zechariah 9.
Yeah, I think I don't have verse 9 in here for some reason, but I've got 10, 11, 12.
Do you?
You want to just read 9?
If you could, if we could do 9, that would be awesome.
Okay,
yeah, if that would be good. Yeah, I'll continue. So this Zechariah is the part that really kind of is one of the very specific prophecies that now is going to be fulfilled on this Palm Sunday. And this kind of sets the frame as to how they had viewed Jesus coming. And so when you're set, you can go ahead and pop that up. That would be great. All right, thank you. So, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Zion. But again, look at daughter Zion. He's demasculizing. He's making it more feminine. Daughter Zion. He's making it gentle. He's making it nurturing. He's making it caring, right? Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Zion. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so here is this thing, here is this statement, which again is the king is coming, the powerful one is coming, the great one is coming, the impressive, massive one is coming, and yet he's riding on a foal, the colt of a donkey. So it's kind of like, yes, powerful and great, but also not powerful and great. You know, yes, dominant, yes, the king, yes, the authority, but also the one that is supportive and caring and blessing and loving, right? And humble, you know, not taking authority or power for his own sake, but taking it for the sake of God, the Father. You know, letting God the Father be seen and blessed in that whole thing. And so this is the thing, and for us today, when we look at the scriptures, for us and then also for groups of people, Christians, non-Christians, when we look at the scriptures to try to understand them, it's so important to try to get into the heart of God as he speaks, because God speaks so many different angles at us in the scriptures. Some are warlike, right? And so we take those and we say, yes, we need to be aggressive and dominant and warlike in the spirit. We need to figure out where the battles that God wants to fight straight out and go after it, right? It's like, understand that those are kingdom things and they're built for kingdom power. So it's like, when we look at the scriptures, find those places that are warlike and direct and straight up, and then fight those battles straight up. Name it clearly, go after it. Find that place where God wants you to stand in the gap and do it, right? Or attack into some. If somebody needs to have something said, move into that, right? Be clear, go after it, right? And yet there are other scriptures where it's, you know, care for those that are hurting and in a tough place. So we also learn to be loving and caring and blessing. We learn to be supportive. We learn to listen, right? Listen and to maybe help them process it through, right? So it's not a direct attack in those situations. It's a, hey, let's talk about this. You know, I see this going on. What are you thinking? You know, where's God at in this? And let me try to help you figure out where things are. Because that also is encouraging, because God wants each of us to be dynamic in our own person, right? None of us is responsible in the end for the other person. We're responsible simply to set the environment to let the Lord speak and be there for them, and to encourage them into that, so that, you know, we use our love and our blessing and our confidence. We use just being ourselves to give them grace and permission to be who they really want to become. You know, and so we kind of lend that support and that care and that blessing to everybody around us. And that too is the kingdom. That too is God. You know? And then you have situations where we're thinking about political things or things that are going on in the culture. How do we talk to the culture? How do we talk to life? By the way, how many people saw Unplanned over the last couple weeks? One, two. You got to go. You absolutely have to go. Okay, so it's rated R, so it's got some blood, but it's all part of the message. Going to say ministry, but that would be applicable too, but it's part of the message. So you really need to go. It was really, really good. And I think, you know, the younger generations these days, medical technology gets better and better and better at seeing things earlier, babies. And I think that the pro-life thing moves up because we see so much now of what was not seen before. And when you don't see the details of the baby, you don't see the baby in the womb, it's easier to objectify and say, you know, I can do what I want to with that baby, right? Based on what I need. But the more you see the baby, more you go, that's a person God created. That is another person. I need to respect that. I need to care for that baby. And so, yeah, go see Unplanned. It's awesome. And it just feels like there's a kind of more of a groundswell. You know, even the younger generations politically are all over the place, like I think all of us are, right? I think they're starting to see more of the technology, and I think they're being more individualized, and they realize that the media often tries to jam a message on them, as the media tries to jam on all of us. And so I think they're learning to pierce through that and try to figure out where life is. You know, and so we just declare that for the younger generations, that they would see where life, capital L, you know, Jesus' life. We pray that they would start understanding that, and that they would not listen to the media discussions about things, but they would pierce through into what God is trying to say, right? They would find life, big L. Capitalized L, we're after that. And so some of us are called to go into, you know, the political world. Some, you know, some Christians are called to run for office. You know, to run organizations, to be in management, to be in leadership. You know, some of us are called, and so for those folks, they need to be thinking that through, and they need to step into that place, and they need to be able to go into that process. That is just part of the deal, right? Because God calls His church to affect all of society. There's always all the places that can be affected and blessed by the kingdom of God. So it's very good. So, the thing is, going back to the ferment, right? So what Jesus is really trying to do is one of the toughest things as He comes into the city on Palm Sunday. What He's trying to do is one of the toughest things, which is to basically say, I am going to be the king of the spirit. I'm going to be the king of your spirit. It's like, what you do is not as important as why you do what you do. Okay, I'll say that again. Okay, when we're talking, again, we're not talking about sin, we're not talking about outright bad stuff. We're talking about everyday things. Okay, what activities we do every day are not as important as why we are doing them. And that's where Jesus is coming back, on this process. So go ahead, Twyla, and put up number 3, and put up John 12, 15 through 16 for me. So He says, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. We've already talked about this, and this is the thing. Bless you, Pat. Have a good day. Bless you. Okay. At first, His disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about Him and that these things had been done to Him. So look at here. So they didn't really get what was going on Palm Sunday. Even the disciples. Jesus did this, and this was all kind of like part of their normal activity that day. This was all, you know, yeah, it was the festival, yeah, it was important, it was good, but they didn't understand the big significance of how this was fulfilling the Old Testament. And isn't this just like God? It's like He sort of sneaks up on us sometimes, right? It's like, how many times does something happen? Like, we're in the humdrum of life. We're in the normal things that are going on. Maybe we're bored, you know. Maybe we feel like God's not working. Maybe there's just that sense that, you know, whatever's happening is happening. And, you know, I can pray, but I'm not really sure that God's hearing me. I'm not really sure anything is changing. You know, we get that feeling. And then all of a sudden, you know, something happens, and it may be big, or it may just be something that's just whatever for us. But then a week later, He goes, do you remember when this happened? That meant a lot to me. And so at that point, when He says it meant a lot to me, that means now that the power of His kingdom comes back into that situation, and I now have to reframe what occurred, right? I have to go, okay, now God, I get the chance to think back with You as to what occurred, you know, what You said to me, what You were saying, what somebody else said to me, the things that are going on. I get to go back and see You at work doing Your thing, and then bring that forward, and then work that forward. And so it's like a reframing of what occurs to us. Because you know, and we've talked about this before, but it's so key. And this is one of our, you know, as believers, this is one of the major things, right? None of our life, you know, is random chance. None of our life is just the interplay of human things going on from people, either my decisions or others. None of, you know, our lives are never simply a human-based thing, right? That is just not it. Okay, we operate that way, and it feels like that's important. And, you know, yeah, we have to operate in the world, but in the end, my evaluation of who I am and what's happening to me, there's God is always here. He's always massive. There's always the possibility of Him doing something new in every moment. So you never know when God's not going to pop in with something massive. And so that is how we want to live. We want to live in that place. Now, do we demand that of God? No, we can't. He's God. I'm not. I can't demand that of Him. But I can be in anticipation of whatever He wants to do. I can say, come, Lord Jesus. You know, process whenever you'd like to process. This is good, right? You're the King. You're the good one. So whatever you're up to, I want to be in that procession. I want to be in that process with you. I want to be in your train as you're doing whatever you want to do. And so this is an incredibly awesome way to do it. And so even the disciples didn't really understand what was going on with this whole thing. And so this is our opportunity to understand that the kingdom of God pulls us along in ways that we don't even understand. And, you know, there are things going on right now that perhaps are not comfortable. There are things going on, perhaps you feel like you're losing things. There are things going on where I go, okay, God, what are you up to in this? Because it doesn't feel like things are settled well. It feels like things are skew. It feels like there are sharp edges and jagged things going on in my life. This is how things operate. But this is just part of growth. This is okay. Because in the end, God is going to make His kingdom operate in ways that I have no idea. And if I'm going to be increased to have more of God, that means I need to be more than I am today. That's just kind of a fact of growth, right? I mean, it's families or people that are not able to grow are not able to say, you know what, the situation today is where it's at, but tomorrow is tomorrow, and tomorrow is the Lord's. Because people that get caught, people in the world, and to the aspects that I've got the world in me, we get caught in just the current day. Like, is this all there is? You know? Boy, this is not good. I don't like this. You know, this person's saying this thing about me. I can't really respond to that. You know, it's like, I feel like I didn't do that particular thing with that person well. I really feel bad about that. I really grieve that. Okay? And all those things are good to process out. Absolutely. But it's like, I don't want to stay there. I want to be in that place where God says, there's open stuff ahead of you. There's glorious stuff ahead of you. Will it be challenging? Sure it will. Always is, right? He didn't say it was going to be a bed of roses. No, that's at the end. It's coming. But for now, in this rebellious world, I've got to struggle with my own issues and with everything that hits me from those issues. And so it's like for us to join together and to be open to change, open for new things, open for God to reframe a situation so that we're able to step into that is an incredible, awesome thing, right? It's really the key to walking with God when you really get down to it, right? Being open to being reframed into new places, right? And again, the Bible uses words like repentance and repent from sin and change your mind and all these things. And these are absolutely good. But kind of the softer way to say that is to say reframe. I need to reframe who I am away from the areas that are being greedy and selfish and focused on me or not seeing God at work. Need to reframe away from those, right? So God, give us the love and the care that we feel loved and valued and cherished because you are that above all, but help us feel loved and cherished and cared about so that we're able then to reframe ourselves into what you've got going on through us and to us in other areas. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the growth. And so, you know, Palm Sunday is setting up growth in the church, right? I mean, Palm Sunday is kind of setting up, you know, the thing that goes on. And it talks about the disciples here, you know, not really seeing what was going on until this point. And we'll get to something more a little bit later there. But it's like the opportunity, whenever there's dis-ease, whenever there's something that's not right, there's something that feels awkward, it feels weird, it feels different, it feels like maybe there needs to be resolution, okay? This is always where we pray, God, come into the situation and do what you want to do, okay? Help me to detach myself from the results in the sense that I don't need to have any one result. I'm okay whichever way you want to go in this situation. If you want me to talk to somebody and confess my sin, if you want me to talk to them and say, hey, let's talk about something because I think there's something going on with you that I don't feel good about. What are you thinking about that? You know, bringing something up, whether it's, you know, speaking in public or whether it's keeping your counsel. Because sometimes it's better to listen and to hear and to just be praying from almost from the sidelines in a way, right? But we're not really on the sidelines if that's what God calls us to do, right? We're actually at the front line, even though we're not really sharing about it, not talking about it, right? There's a huge place on that. So the huge thing in growth is detaching myself from a need to have any one particular resolution and to back up and say, God, what are you up to? What are you going on? What do you have happening with this? What are you shaking to like change and make different? And what are you shaping to bring something into fullness, to build something up more, to build something in a greater way? And so this is the great opportunity because, you know, this brings all of our faculties to bear. You know, God is so cool in that, you know, when you really walk with God seriously, you're really not bored very much, right? There's always stuff going on, right? Yeah, there are those days you feel tempted and you're bored and you're like, yeah, you know, this is, sure. But most of the time you're like, you know what? There's so much stuff going on with God. There's so much stuff going on with people I know, friends. Okay, God, this is like, you know, increase my capacity to do what you want me to do because there's so much going on. We need more. We need to have more abilities to love him. We need to have more abilities to affect people, to bring the kingdom, to let his love be seen. And so, Lord, increase us. And so that's our response when we get in these places of, you know, I'm not sure I've got enough. I'm not sure I can handle this. I'm not sure I can do this. It's more, you know, sometimes we say, sure, you know, it's like, God, please give me some, calm this area down so that I'm able to deal with it. Sure. But more than that, we say, increase who I am so you can shine more powerfully through me. You know, process into my life and let me see how you want to do the celebration, how you want to do the war march. Show me what you want to do. Let me join that and go in new places, in greater places, because you're in the midst. And this is the great place because God is so open-ended with us. There's so many things ahead of us that there's no need to get bored. There's no need to not have something to do. There's no need to not feel like we're absolutely important and crucial to him, because we are. Because our love is what we bring to the process with God, right? Not so much what we do, but our love. And then what we do out of our love, how we affect people, how we want to love people, how we want to care for them. And so this is so awesome and so cool. And so as we conclude, this is going to be kind of short today. The triumph of God breaks the chains of our spirit. And Twyla, did I get the very back end of that John passage on?
You didn't read it yet. So
okay.
You didn't read the Zechariah 9:10-12 yet.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to go there?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's. Why don't you go ahead and put it up?
So
Zechariah 9:10, this was like this was the earlier Israelite stuff, jumping around a little here. So this was their framework early on. So I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. So this is, you know, this is the thing. So He starts with the warrior mentality, and then he comes into the prisoners of hope. He says, I will free you, prisoners of hope. You know, his rule will extend, but even now I announce I will restore twice as much to you. So the ancient Israelites kind of framed this and had this in terms of the military process. That's kind of how they framed it, you know, as they walked forward. Because, again, when we think on the human level, we operate on the human level, right? It's just a truism. If you're thinking about the human interaction level, if that's your focus, if that's where you're going to focus on, that's where you're thinking. You're going to operate in that area. That's just who you are. But if you're thinking on the supernatural level with God, then you're going to be operating in the supernatural, and it will affect how you deal with people. But this is not the end. Up here is the final word. God's final word. Yes?
I'm sorry, but I need help.
Okay.
I'm not on the driveway. I'm in the grass. My car is going downhill. Ooh. It's totally stuck, and I'm over the sewer system. So
okay.
I can't move the car.
Okay.
But they couldn't find the driveway.
Couldn't find the drive. Wow.
It's so bad.
All right. Oh, it's coming up bad?
It's that big.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, we're going to have a short sermon, so that's good. Yeah. So I'm feeling the need. So thank you, guys. So operating on the spiritual is the great place to be, and we love that. It's really incredibly awesome. And then the very last thing that we'll talk about quickly. Twyla, do you have like the back end of that John passage at the very end? Yeah, did I go farther? Did I go to 17 on this or not?
Yeah,
why don't you put it up? Go to John. Because it just kind of sums up at the end. It talks about the religious leaders, something effective. They saw what was happening, and they went away to decide what to do about Jesus. No, not Zechariah. I'm talking about John. I'm talking about the John one. Yeah. So as it comes up, again, what we've been talking about just kind of sums it up. If the people of the world are going to operate in the way the people of the world do, that's just going to be how it is, right? But, okay, we don't have to simply be in reaction to them. Now, the crowd, I think it's even farther. There's something at the very end of that section that just talks about, and the leaders did, like, went and decided what they were going to do,
okay,
do to them.
Okay.
So the people of the world are going to operate how they're going to operate. But our incredible invitation is not to be in response only to them, but to be bringing God into that process so that we are seeing his presence, we're feeling his grace, we're feeling his love, and then we're able to interact with those people and do what God wants to do so that we honor God and glorify God. I'm not responsible for what that other person says or does in the end. It's not my thing. I'm not responsible, right? All I'm responsible is to be the best I can in my process.
Is it that one?
That looks good. That's part of it.
About four or five scriptures.
Yeah, that's good. So again, this is just talking about the Pharisees said, see, this is getting us nowhere. In other words, Jesus, look it, we're letting Jesus have his free reign, and the people are all flocking to him. That's diminishing our power. And they go, look, the whole world's gone. So now they come into the place where they want to crucify him, right? They want to get rid of him, right? Inside the space of a week, and that's why you see the massive change. But again, we're not responsible for what the people of the world do. All we're responsible for is being the best we can to love God and to affect them as we need to. So this is good. This is awesome. So this is the message of Palm Sunday. Be ready for change, right? Be ready for change. Be ready for the be ready for the crucifixion day, and be ready for the resurrection day. Both. And so, you know, Jesus is the Messiah, and he comes. And so we are, you know, in this week entering into the spiritual, you know, week, the spiritual time like he did. We are entering, and everybody else in the church now is entering this time to really honor and bless him and to be reshaped into the kingdom places that he wants us to be. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your power today. Thank you even for the snow, even though this is going to be a challenge. And we pray that Pat, we're able to get Pat out and on her way as well. In Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank you for this time. We pray that you would process through this place and process as we reflect this week about what's up, but about our lives and what's happening. I pray that you would be there and that you would show us what your parade looks like this week. What parade, what part of the parade you want us to join, and how you want to route us in the ways that we need to. We just honor and bless you. We just give you praise and glory. We just thank you for your mercies today, and thank you that you are God and there is no other. And the awesome and incredible things that go on are great. So thank you in Jesus' name. So should we...
We're going to do electronic.
Okay, very good. Awesome. Good. That sounds good. All right, good. Got the mic over there?
All right. So, as you heard Pat say, that snow's pretty thick out there. So, I'm just really, really happy.
Okay, we are set free.
We are set free.
It is finished.
It